Well, good morning and welcome again. My name is Rob. I'm a pastor here. Maybe it's because I am from the mountains, but one of my very favorite things to do is go on hikes. I love hiking. I love backpacking. I have a list of bucket list hikes that I would like to complete at some point. One of those hikes is called the 100-Mile Wilderness. It is a section of the Appalachian Trail, not the Appalachian Trail, up in Maine. It is, I have the words to one of the signs that's at the trailhead of this section of the Appalachian Trail. Listen to what it says. Caution, there are no places to obtain supplies or get help until Abol Bridge, 100 miles north. Do not attempt this section unless you have a minimum of 10-day supplies and are fully equipped. This is the longest wilderness section of the entire AT, and its difficulty should not be underestimated. Good hiking. But how fun does that sound, right? Like, let's go. Who's ready to sign up and hike this with me? Sign at the trailhead to let you know what to expect. In many ways, the book of Proverbs stands at the trailhead of life. And it says, hey, if you're going to go on this journey, and remember we said wisdom is living a life well lived or having some kind of competence when it comes to navigating life in a world that God has designed in ways that he has designed it. So Proverbs stands and says, hey, if you want to live a life well lived, this is what you need to know. And even more, it doesn't say this is what you need, but it actually provides what it is that you need. And imagine with me for a moment, if you were there in rural Maine, and you're at the trailhead, and you see this guy come up and start down the trail, right? And he's wearing some flip-flops, and all he's got is a fanny pack. All right, I'm sure you'd be compelled to say, hey, friend, you just going out for a day hike, you know, a little out and back? Like, what's going on here? And what if he said, oh, no, I am starting this section. I'm starting the 100-mile wilderness. I think you'd want to say, friend, you may be starting the 100-mile wilderness, but if all you got is flip-flops and a fanny pack, you will not be finishing the 100-mile wilderness, right? Like, the 100-mile wilderness will probably be finishing you. The book of Proverbs teaches us through these proverbs we've just looked at that trying to navigate life without friends is trying to navigate the 100-mile wilderness in flip-flops and a fanny pack. We're going to see that we desperately need friends. The absence of friends can lead to destruction. And the presence of a friend can mean salvation. So let's pray and let's look what Proverbs has to say to us. Pray with me. Mighty and merciful Father, we come to you and we ask you would open our eyes and give us ears to hear. Pray especially for my teenage friends, my young adult friends. Proverbs speaks again and again to those who are young, but every one of us of every generation needs to hear your truth. And we all need to see our true and great friend, Jesus Christ, this morning. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's just dive in with our first proverb this morning. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Walks with the wise becomes wise. Remember, we're in poetry, DC prose, lawyer, policy, friends. So when it talks about walking with the wise, it's not talking about literally walking, but it's speaking a walk as a metaphor for all of life, doing all of life together. If you want to grow in wisdom, which we desperately need, then you do it by doing life together with wise people. This proverb is pointing to the power of relationships to form you. Almost no more powerful thing than relationships when it comes to forming us, making us more wise or making us more foolish. And we don't just need the Proverbs to help us see this. Actually, all of the Bible points us to the power of relationships from the word go. Sure, there are some examples of solitary figures, lone rangers in the Bible. But the pattern and precedent far and away is relationships and friendships. Adam and Eve, Jonathan and David, Ruth and Naomi, Daniel and his friends. Again and again, relationships and friendships. Go to the New Testament. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Timothy, look at Jesus. If there were anybody who could have gone it alone, flown solo, it could have been Jesus. But the true wise one decides to walk with 12 friends, to do life together, to have meals together, to weep and laugh and work together. Could it be that some of the reasons that we lack wisdom is because we lack friends? We don't have friends in our life. So we're going to look at a number of Proverbs, and as you can tell, we're still trying to figure out what it means to preach a sermon on a topic with a bunch of different verses all over the book of Proverbs, all right? We're going to go through some of these Proverbs, and we're going to try to answer a few questions, all right? What is a friend? Why do we need a friend, and how do we make friends? What is a friend? Why do we need a friend? And how do we make friends? Let's start with that number one. What is a friend? A friend is someone who understands you. All right? So, like, if I ask you about some of your friends, you would probably say, well, she really gets me. He really gets me. And I want us to look at a quote by a guy named C.S. Lewis, Oxford professor, a book called The Four Loves. If somehow I had the power to make you go and buy this book, I would use that power. I don't have that kind of power. It's probably a good thing. But let me encourage you, for your summer reading, go get this book by C.S. Lewis called The Four Loves. C.S. Lewis, Oxford professor, writer, professor. This chapter in here on friendship is probably one of the greatest works on Christian friendship that I know of. But he talks about how what a friend is someone who knows us and gets us and we find some commonality with. So hear him talk about this knowing and getting us. All right, let me find my spot. It says this. Friendship arises out of mere companionship when two or more of the companions discover that they have in common some insight or interest or even taste which the others do not share and which till that moment each believed to be his own unique treasure or burden. The typical expression of opening friendship would be something like, what, you two? I thought I was the only one. This friendship is built on someone who knows us and gets us, understands us, like is with us and knows us in the roller coasters of life, the ups and the downs of life. If we're going to find wisdom, we need friends who know us in that way. I wonder if you heard this proverb, if you're like, what in the world is going on there? Proverbs 25:20, whoever sings a song to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. What's up with that? This proverb is making the point in the negative. It's saying friends who don't know us aren't helpful, right? Friends who don't know us, friends who don't know that we're mourning and start singing happy songs, they're like someone who takes your coat away in January. That's not real helpful. Friends that don't know us and don't get us are like, it's kind of like pouring acid, a vinegar, on base, a soda, all right? All you're going to get is a mess, and it's going to kind of just totally neutralize each one. It's going to take the power out of each one of those. It's pointless. We need friends that know us and that get us. That's what Proverbs teaches us. So, some questions for you. Maybe write these down. Maybe talk about these over lunch. Who in life understands me and gets me and knows me? Do I fear to let people understand me and get me and know me? Do I close myself off because I'm scared that they might reject me if they really knew me? How am I working to know and understand my friends? So a friend is someone who understands you, and a friend is also someone who sticks with you. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. DC people, we need to hear this. It's teaching us that friends aren't just there for our convenience or to be used to help us get what we want. And honestly, in the DC area, that's how many people think of relationships, right? Like, how can I use these relationships to help me get ahead? The past 2 weeks, I've been up at Wolf Trap on Wednesday nights watching a concert. This past Wednesday night, I was there. I was standing in line, going to get some merch, and some people behind me were talking to me. And I heard this guy say, he said, look at that guy. See, there's a park ranger. You don't get that job unless you know someone, right? There's no way you get that job as a park. He has to know someone. The only way you get a job as a park ranger is if you know someone. He was passionate about it. I have no idea if that's true or not. All right, I cannot attest to the validity of that statement, but he sure believed it with all of his heart, and it does express something of the way that we think about relationships here in our city, right? How can I use them to get my position, get ahead, get what I want? Proverbs talks about friends as those who remain even when things become inconvenient. Friends are friends at all times. There's another proverb that we looked at that speaks to this as well. I think it puts it with some helpful clarity. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The writer's saying, listen, hey, you can have a lot of companions of convenience, but when times get hard, they will abandon you and you could still come to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Remember, ancient world, ancient Israel, there's no Geico insurance, all right? There's no unemployment. When things go south, what you need is a friend, right? And we need to understand, friends are great to go to the movies with and go to concerts and sporting events. Those are all good gifts, and we should connect the dots between them and our good God. But even more, when all hell breaks loose in your life, and when you don't know which way is up and down, and when you've lost any desire to eat and you can't find sleep anywhere, Proverbs says, that's when you need a friend. That's what friends are for, to sit with you in that space, to speak truth to you in that space, to sit in silence and weep with you in that space. That's what friends are for. A friend is someone who knows you, and a friend is someone who is with you at all times, sticks with you. So why do we need a friend? We need a friend because we need someone to speak truth to us. Friends tell us the truth. Proverbs 27:5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Hey, guys, that's some hard candy right there. Remember, we called Proverbs the hard candy of the Bible because you have to sit with it. Listen to that language and get your head around it again. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse or many are the kisses of an enemy. Friends are willing to speak truth that actually might wound you, that actually might hurt so that it can bring healing. Why do we need friends to speak the truth to us? Well, because we have spiritual amnesia. Because we are so prone to forget and wonder. Because we have a world out there and an enemy of our soul that lies again and again to us. That's why we need friends. Because honestly, as humans, we are terrible at self-diagnosis and trying to figure out what's going on in our lives. Maybe you've seen the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail. All right, there's this, if you haven't, I'll tell you, there's this one scene where King Arthur and the Black Knight fight each other. All right, they're in the woods, they're in a duel. And King Arthur lops off the arm of the Black Knight. And he says, it's just a scratch, right? And then he lops off his other arm. And the Black Knight's like, oh, it's just a flesh wound. Right? Obviously, the Black Knight's not doing very well with self-awareness and self-diagnosis. And many of us time and time again, are making foolish decisions and wrecking our lives, and we don't even realize it. And we need a friend that's going to speak truth into that situation. We need friends who are going to say, hey, man, I know you just started dating this girl, but from the little bit I've been around it, it just seems kind of unhealthy and toxic, right? And your friend might say something like this: yeah, but you don't know her like I know her, right? Oftentimes that's it's just a flesh wound statement, all right? And as friends, we say, hey, maybe not, but I know before you met her, you said you wanted your life to be about this and go in this direction, and now your life looks like this and it's going in this direction, and I just love you enough to say, like, hey, what's going on or what's changed? We need friends who will speak that kind of truth into our lives. High school students, college students, young adults, you need friends that will speak that kind of truth into our lives, to hurt our feelings in order to bring healing into our life. Do you have them? Are you one of them? We need friends to speak truth, and we need friends to give us counsel. Proverbs 27:9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. All right? Smells in the ancient world, no joke, all right? No Lysol, no weekly trash pickup. So oils and perfume made life bearable. Wisdom, counsel from a friend gets you through life. Do you really think that you can make all the decisions, all the parenting and marriage and singleness and battles with addiction and caring for aging parents and choosing colleges? You think you can make all those decisions on your own? Like, who do we think we are? We need friends to help us make these decisions, to give us counsel, to help us make plans. So what is a friend? Someone who knows us and sticks with us. Why do we need a friend? Because they speak truth and they give us counsel and advice. And just so you know, this isn't theory for me, all right? This isn't just like cerebral information. Some of you would know that Terrence and I right here, we've been friends since we were freshmen in college. We played basketball against each other in high school, and we met when we were freshmen in college. You want to talk about the wounds of a friend? Terrence has been hurting my feelings for over 2 decades. All right? But in all seriousness, like when I was dating Liz and thinking about asking her to marry me, who did I go talk to? I talked to my friend Terrence. Right? When Liz and I were praying about what to do with our next season of life, it was Terrence that said, hey, I see God's work in your life, and I really think you should pray about working with McLean to start a new work in Fairfax. Terrence spoke courage and hope into our lives. I shudder to think where I would be at without friends like Terrence speaking wisdom, hurting my feelings to bring healing. We desperately need friends like that. That's why we need friends. Lastly, how to make a friend. And honestly, it sounds silly just to say that. Okay, we're going to talk about how to make friends today, all right? Like, is this Sesame Street? What's going on here? But we need to know how to make friends because, one, Proverbs says that's how we get wisdom, and we don't want to live without that. And two, it's just not easy. If we're honest, it's not easy to make friends for a number of reasons. One of the reasons it's not easy is because of the context we live in, right? The pace at which people in this city run makes it hard to build friends. Our temptation to worship our almighty schedule makes it hard to build friends. And how many of us have had this experience? Oh, I found someone. I think they might be a friend. They get me. And the State Department is transferring them to Jordan in 6 months, right? Like, this is a transient area, and it's hard to build friends with people coming and going, and we almost want to have this, like, beginning conversation question. Hey, are you going to be here for the next 5 years? Because if not, I don't know if I want to spend time getting to know you, right? Friends, let's not do that, okay? I know it's tempting, but God can build and use friendships in short seasons, and we need to be convinced of that. It's hard to build friends because of the area we live in. It's hard to build friends because we are humans, and we have idols, and we worship competence and strength and appearances. And if we let someone know us, they're going to find out that we're kind of a mess. So that makes us hard, makes it hard to build friends. And that's why we need the true and greater friend that sticks closer than a brother. Remember that language from Proverbs 18. There's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Think about that, and then think about these words from John chapter 15. Think about these words that Jesus says. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend. We can't be the friend we need to be. We can't make friends we need to make until we've reckoned with this true and greater friend, Jesus. If a friend is someone who knows you, Jesus knows you. He's known you from the beginning of time, created you in the womb. He knows you. He knows all of your mess. He knows the thoughts you think that would shock other people. He knows you, and he still loves you. He's a friend that sticks with you. Right? Even when you deserved the punishment of God because of your rebellion and your rejection, your friend Jesus stepped in and lived the life you should have lived and took the punishment you deserved. That's the kind of friend Jesus is. Charles Spurgeon, who was a pastor, preacher in London in the 19th century, he calls the cross the greatest act of friendship the world has ever seen. And when you experience this friendship, you have what you need to be a friend. Right? Because you can open up and let people see your mess and see that you're broken and that you do some foolish stuff sometimes and you don't have it all together because you don't care what they think of you because you know Jesus knows about it and he still loves you, so it's going to be all right. You can speak hard truth into your friend's life and not worry about what they think of you because of your friend Jesus. You can speak hard truth with grace and with gentleness because you have hope in Jesus. You don't have to be scared of other people's mess and other people's wounds and brokenness. Because you know, one, it's not your responsibility to fix it. You do know someone who can, though. And you can take them to Jesus. That's how Jesus helps us be a friend and moves us to be a friend. And if you don't take care of that heart stuff, you're not going to be a very good friend. You're not going to find friends in the way that you need to find them. Let me finish talking to two groups. Group number one, you're here and you're like, honestly, Rob, I don't have those friends. Maybe I just moved here. I'm walking around here and it looks like everyone has friends. They've got like positions for friendships and all of those positions are full and I'm left on the outside. Some of you feel that way. So to you, I would say, be intentional and lean in and get involved. All right? Remember, friendship is found in finding commonalities, not just in purely looking for a friend that is just going to be my friend, but things you share together. So get involved so you can see what commonalities you might have with each other. Set up and tear down after church, all right? If you happen to do it on a day that Avery's here, I guarantee you, whether you want to or not, you're going to get to know Avery, all right? Serve in our children's ministry. There's a myriad of ways to just get involved in serving or in our ministries or in the events that you've heard us talk about. Come and get involved so that you might know others. You're going to have to take steps to do it, though. All right? And I would also encourage you, instead of orienting yourself towards finding a friend, consider what it looks like to try to go and be a friend. All right, how can I step in and get to know someone, not just expect them to get to know me? How can I step in and be there for someone, serve someone? And we're going to finish talking about praying for a friend. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about those group number two who are here, and you're like, hey, Yeah, all of my friend positions are full. I'm good. Got plenty of friends. Couple things. Be a friendship bridge or connector. Like, be one who shows up here on a Sunday morning and says, you know what? I am going to help connect people during the passing of the peace or before or after the service. I'm just going to take the responsibility of being a bridge or connector so that people can make friends. Because, guys, yeah, we're a small church that just launched out a few years ago, but it's still possible to walk in here on a Sunday morning and not be seen and not be known. Be someone who seeks to know and connect people here in the life of our church. Also, if you've got friends, praise God, but ask yourself, am I the kind of friend that Proverbs talks about? Like, some reflection this week. Am I speaking truth into the life of my friends? Is there something I need to say to one of my friends that I've just been scared to because I don't want them to think ill of me, or I love to please people because that's another one of my idols? So maybe you need to speak some truth into one of your friend's life. Maybe you need to apologize for not being there and say, hey, I need grace and mercy and forgiveness because you really needed me and I wasn't there. Evaluate your friendships and say, am I the kind of friend that Proverbs calls me to be? If we want to grow in wisdom, we need friends. We need to walk with the wise. Friends know us and stick with us. They speak truth to us. They give us counsel. Like I said, one thing that I want all of us to do is pray. Pray and ask God to provide friends for us and deepen the friendships that we have. I'll read one final quote. Again, please go buy this book from C.S. Lewis. I'll give you one more encouragement to do so. He says to all of us, he says, hey, you know what? You know, we think we've chosen our friends. Here's what Lewis would say to that. In reality, a few years difference in the dates of our birth, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, posting to different regiments, the accident of a topic being raised or not being raised at a first meeting, any of these chances might have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of the ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to the disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," can truly say to every group of Christian friends, "You have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another." I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God would bring friends into our lives and build the friends that we have in our lives to be those that point us to our true and greater friends. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it stands as a sign at the trailhead of our lives to point us to the way to live, to point us to the one who lived the life we should have, to point us to the grace and mercy we can find in our true friend Jesus. And I pray now for myself and for my brothers and sisters, for those who don't have friends like this, would you bring them into their lives? Would you give them the faith and courage to take steps, to enter into uncomfortable situations, to move forward and be a friend? And Father, pray for those of us that have been blessed with friends this day, that you would help us to search our souls and see if we're the kind of friends that you've called us to be. And if we're not, help us to see your grace and move us to be those kinds of friends. Again, above anything and everything else, we thank you for the friend that we have in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.